Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning just thanking you for this moment, this time, God, that you have brought us here. And Father, just in having us in this place at this moment, God, is no accident. Father, you have brought us here this morning to hear you. And so, Father, I pray that as you just use me as your instrument, as your vessel, God, that you'll speak boldly through me. Father, that your word will not just be ignored, but God, it will go into our heart. It will seed and take root. So, Father, I pray this morning that we leave much differently than we came in these doors. Father, I pray that our lives will be changed. And, Father, that most importantly, we live in a way that glorifies and honors you. So, Father, spill your truth on us this morning. And again, Father, just help it take root in us. We lift this up to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Guys, thank you so much. Can you put that last song back up just for a second? I got a few words that I was standing there, and I can't remember now what they were. I'll have to read through it. Go. That's it right there. I want y'all to read that for just a second. Sometimes when we're singing, we try to pay attention to how pretty we're singing, and none of us can sing pretty. Only Trey and Josh and Casey can sing pretty. So anyway, no, I'm just kidding. We tend to kind of get in worship, and that's great. We need to do that. But also paying attention to the words, and this just caught me because it's kind of going to fit into what I'm going to teach you today. It says, I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me, Jesus. You're all this heart is living for. I want you to meditate on that for just a second. Wouldn't that relieve some of the frustration and some of the aggravation in our life? If we just done this, like if we just proclaimed this like being our how we were going to live, got to fall on my knees and offering all of me. God, I'm surrendering all of me to you. And you, God, you. That's what my heart's living for. And so you just think about that for a few minutes because that wasn't planned, to be in the message. But as I was singing in worship with that, it just caught my heart. And I'm like, if we could just do that and learn to live in that, man, how things would be, I think, a lot simpler. But this requires faith. This requires letting go, turning loose. And that's hard sometimes, right? That gets tough sometimes. So that's not our message today. What I'm going to speak on today is just trusting God. Actually, my title is Don't Jump Ship. And the reason I titled it this is because we're going to be looking at Paul, and he's having some problems sailing. He's entered into this, like the storm, and we're going to look at that and what God told him. And actually, maybe I could have even titled it this, but Trust the Promises of God. I want you to realize something, guys, as you're sitting here this morning. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he's made some promises. God's made some promises. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you're in a great place this morning. He's also offered you something as well. He's offered you redemption through his Son. And so as I go through this message, I want you to know that God always keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises to his children, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and is following him. He keeps his promises, and he promises that if you hear his call and you will come to him as he calls you, he has promised to redeem you, restore you, and save you. And God never breaks a promise. I started to do a survey sheet this morning before we started and see if y'all could write down a promise maybe that God has broken. In your life. Now you might could write down some ways God disappointed you, but you know, we all get disappointed, right? And usually when God disappoints us, it's for a good reason. I made this statement about my kids when I was growing up. I would disappoint my children intentionally. And that's not like, you know, parenting now is like, oh my gosh, really? Yeah, I'd disappoint them intentionally. How many of you face disappointments in life? You need to teach your children to face disappointment. Sometimes we, you know, wasn't nothing wrong with going to get ice cream, but I would just say no for the sake of saying no. They need that once in a while. This is not a children's sermon here today. So anyway, that's going to, like, you know, move on because I'm getting sick of that. So anyway, today we're going to talk about God keeps his promises, and you got to remember that he's made a promise to you. He's made a promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. If you'll beckon his call, listen to him and come to him, he's promised you that he will save you and redeem you. He has made a promise to you as a follower of his, that he will take care of you, he will never leave you or forsake you. He will walk you through the journeys no matter how difficult they get. He will always be with you. And for, just so you'll know, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it will always turn out right and well at the end. At the end of the day, no matter what circumstances flow through your lives, no matter what happens, it's going to turn out well in the end for you. And he makes a promise that that be the case, and it will happen. So, got to do a little background here. I want to kind of get you on the ocean this morning. Can everybody do this? Y'all don't play along well. Oh, gosh, we're going to have a play along well class. So anyway, I'm going to try to put you on the ocean with Paul this morning. First of all, I believe this. I believe life is a journey. Who believes that life is a journey? Life's a journey. If you don't believe it, I need to talk with you, because certainly you set out every day and you're on a journey every day of your life. Your entire life from beginning to end is a journey. So I believe that. And I believe that God placed you here for that journey. We talked last week about Psalm 139. Go and read it. That God made you, put you together in his mother, in your mother's womb, and he set the days before you before one was ever lived. And so he had purpose and a plan for you. So your journey is intentional. You're here for a journey that God is in control of. Amen. You're here because God said so. Love that. It's purposeful. Sometimes journeys can get frustrating, right? They can even get scary. They can even get difficult. They can even get our minds to, like, not knowing or not understanding where to go, what to do, and how to, what to cling to next and what to grab onto. And they can get really, really scary at times. And God says, you know, just like he's going to tell Paul, don't be afraid. I'm with you in the journey. And so as we look through Scripture today, I want you to pay attention to how God, even Paul, by the way, even Paul, I think there was moments in Paul's life he would, like, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing here, of course, but he would, like, God, I know you're with me, right? You ever ask that in a situation? God, I know you're with me, right? You know, I think all of us gets there at times, right? When the waves are battering us and beating us and things don't look well. And by the way, who in here has ever been in the middle of the ocean where you're so far away from land you can't see land anymore? Y'all crazy. And so just you know, if I can't swim and I ain't going that far out. And see, that's a fear, you know. But think about it. You're out in the ocean and your journey sometimes looks like there is nothing but the ship you're on and what you have there. There's nothing around you that even remotely says safety, right? You know, the worst thing, one of my worst nightmares in the world, this is the reason I don't do deep sea fish, you know, you think about ways you might die. Anybody ever do that? That's awesome, isn't it? Think of ways you might die. And so one of the worst ways to die would be you getting eaten by a shark. Who wants to get eaten by a shark? I don't, you know. So anyway, we'll talk about that later. So after more than 2 years, give you a little background on Paul here. After more than 2 years of waiting, Paul was finally sailing for Rome, like, you know, his whole life had led up to this moment. All of his training and experience had prepared him to preach the gospel before Caesar himself. But on the journey from Jerusalem to Rome, he faced one of the most fierce storms of his life. And he needed strength. He needed the strength that come from a promise that God had given him years before. So let's start there. Let's go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you got them, to Acts chapter 27. That's where we'll spend a lot of our time today. Now, the trip starts off well. For Paul, it's not a real big deal. It's typical, you know, they board the ship, they load the ship, and the trip really starts off well for Paul. He goes, they at the first port, Paul is given, he's a prisoner, by the way, Paul's a prisoner, so he at the first port, he is given liberty to visit some friends, to encourage them, to encourage him, so he's given that privilege. on top of that, the ship is headed for a place called Fair Havens. That even sounds like vacational, right? Fair Havens. That sounds like a place you would want to go. And so they're headed to this place, and they're going to spend the winter there. But before they get a long ways in their journey, everything seems to start to unravel. So we'll pick up in verse 4, chapter 27 of Acts. He said, "From there we put out to sea and sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary." The winds were against them. Let me ask you a question. And this is kind of hard, but you know, to think about. You ever felt like the winds were blowing against you? You know, one of y'all. Okay, well, we're all saved. Let's just go home. Okay, so he actually felt like, you know, God was blowing against him. You ever felt like God was against you? You can be honest here. You don't have to fake that. You know, sure, we get angry at God sometimes. We feel like, you know, God, what is going on? Anybody ever asked? That's a fair question. Anybody ever asked God, what's happening? Anybody? If you haven't, you will. If you live long enough, you will ask that question. You'll wonder why. You'll try to figure it out, can't figure it out, and you will ask God, why in the world is this happening? A lot of times you hear it in this way. God, why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. Ooh. Just so you'll know, none of us are good. None of us are good. Romans 3:23 says, none of us are good. We're all sinners. Jesus is good. Jesus is what makes us good and right and perfect. So next time you say, God, why is this happening? I'm a good person. Oh, okay. No, God don't deal that way. God don't work like, you know, you're bad, I'm going to bad your world up. And that's a new phrase, you know. And so, take that one and put that on a bumper sticker. So anyway, he doesn't work that way. God loves you, and I'll guarantee you this, saved or unsaved, if God is calling you, you do not know him. And if he is calling you into himself, God will put circumstances in your life to help you see him. To help you see him, to recognize that he is calling you to open your eyes. We actually pray for people to come to Jesus. And one of the prayers that I'll pray is, God, break in them the very thing that is causing them to be blind to you. God, have mercy on him or her. And God, break in them what is causing them not to see you. God, break in them what is causing the restrain, causing the hold back, the push back. God, would you just break that in them so that they may see you? See, a lot of times when we're going to follow God, it requires of us letting go and turning loose of and letting God do what God does best. And that's restore us and make us new. Now, if you're a follower of Christ, God's going to take you into some journeys that's not going to be so vacational. Okay? Why does God do that? God does that so that we can see who he is. First and foremost, I think he does it to open our eyes so when we come out the other end, or let me say this, not when we come out, when God brings us out the other end, so that we can look back and say, he is God. He is God. There's no way that that should have happened. There's no way that that should have panned out that way. There's no way that that should have been. At one point in time, the waves were so high and the ocean was so stormy and the rain was so intense and the wind was howling so hard, there was no way that the end result would have been life at the end of these circumstances. Yet God brought me through that. Only God can do that. I tell you, the greatest place you can ever be in life, you can ever be in life, is when you are face down before God crying out for his mercy. When you are face down before God seeking his truth and his wisdom. My granddad had a saying when we were coming up, said a man is at his tallest when he is on his knees. A man is at his tallest when he is on his knees. Now to us, to get on our knees, that looks like and it is to a degree, a visual of submission. And it is a submission to God. But when we are on our knees pleading to God, we are seeking the truest, the purest, form of truth and wisdom. You can be in no better place than crying out to God. Don't ever let anybody tell you it's weak to be on your knees or on your face before God. That is the strongest thing that you can do. That's what brings the strength. That is the rightest thing you can do. That is the thing we need to do often. Seeking the wisdom of God. So Paul's on a ship, and he says, you know, to start it off, the winds are blowing against them, so it's not looking good already. I don't know. The only boat I've ever been on is out in Lake Murray. That even scares me. It's not so much I know how to swim. I can swim. I just don't like wind and water that much, okay, together. Now, I can take the water, and then when we get back to shore, we can have some wind. But the two of them don't go well, to my thinking. I was out there one time on a boat with a guy who, by the way, tried to drown me in a boat baptism. Anyway, I was out there with him one time, and it started raining, and we were coming across the water, you know, and you ever had the boat just bam, bam. I mean, the wind was that intense. And I'm going to tell you what, he had claw marks in his boat seat because I'm like, we ain't going to make it. I don't want a catfish to eat me. You know, I just somehow have this fear about a fish eating me, and I don't want that. And so water, and so I'm just saying, I can imagine this storm. Paul said it was furious. It was intense. You know, what I went through was like a little gale of some kind, but what he's going through is intense. I'm like, so Paul's got to be thinking like, oh, this is nice, God. This is breezy, and you know, we're not going to dry out. We're moist, and so this is good. But he goes on, you know, today the wind was like pushing against them. Paul's got to be thinking like, Jesus, you've called me to Rome. You promised, God, that I was going to make it to Rome. You promised that I was going to testify about you there. Why are you making this hard? And I got to set up, this might get a little negative before it gets positive, but it takes a battery both to run the car, right? So you got to have negative and positive. So anyway, just think of it kind of like that. Well, let me share the negative with you first. And so Paul's thinking like, Jesus, why are you doing this? God, I'm doing what you're wanting me to do. And it's funny, isn't it? You would think if you're going to do something that God's called you to do, it should be easy, right? God called you to do it. God's king and master of everything. So he's just going to lay out the red carpet and say, go and do. Usually, God will lay out quicksand and mud and wind and rain and muck. Why does he do that? Why does he do that? Well, first of all, he already knows who he is. Amen. He knows who he is. He's going to handle anything. He is the creator, the maker of heaven and earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has no problem with that. He wants you to know who he is in you. That's the reason he will lay out some journeys that sometime batters the ship. He wants you to know who he is in you. Don't miss that. So God knows what he's doing. You may be thinking that, guys, I don't know. Sometimes it may be in your job, your marriage, your friendships, or whatever, and you're wondering why the waves are blowing, and God, it was so peaceful here just a few months ago, and now it's in turmoil. God has something in store for you. Can I say this? And you might not agree with me, and that's okay. I'm not asking you to agree with me, but If God brings a storm into your life, if he brings like what seems like trouble into your life, could it possibly be that he just wants to get your attention? Could it possibly be that things have gotten kind of in a rut and you're going and this is getting good, and God just wants to show you something new? He wants to show you something different. So he'll come knocking on your door with a few waves and some rain, maybe a little hail, maybe the hail that falls from the sky. We ain't talking about the down there hail yet, okay? We'll get there. But maybe, you know, maybe it requires some of that to get our attention. Who's hard-headed in here? I am the chief hard-headeder, okay? I am more hard-headed than probably all of you, and God has broken a lot of that in me. He's not finished yet. My wife will tell you that. But he's working on me. So Paul's got to be asking, you know, God, what's going on? And we ask those same questions. We can get wrapped up because, like I said, we're doing this for you. God, we're going to do this. When we planted this church, man, I thought this was going to be a breeze. God called me to be a pastor. By the way, I told him that I shouldn't be a pastor. I was a corn farmer. He said, no, you're going to be a pastor. And I couldn't figure that one out, but I figured he was God and he knew more than I did. So I just go with what God was going with and I would just follow him. And we still on that journey. Yeah, we're still there. And so God brings it into play. We get so busy doing things for God that we forget that and I had to write this down. God's a lot more concerned, instead of our to-do, you know, to please him, he's more concerned with what he's doing in us. Man, God's doing something in you. God is changing you. If you're sitting in this room and you know Jesus Christ, truly know Jesus Christ, I'll guarantee you, you could stand up right at this moment and say, he's changed me. People sometimes tell me that, you know, they're Christians, and all you really got to do, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. That's what Jesus said. And so if you'll look at their life long enough, their life will tell the story whether they know Jesus or not. And that don't mean that, you know, I'm going to give you this because, you know, I don't want you to have your feelings hurt, of course. No, I ain't going to give that to you. You can have your feelings hurt. That's okay. Just kidding. Seriously, we tend to think in terms of, like, you know, knowing God, everything should be good. And God is concerned about changing things in us. And what you will see evidence of Jesus in the one who is following him. You know, I say this all the time, and I've been asking this question. It ticks a lot of people off. This is that we call this a Christian nation. Okay, now I'm just spitballing here. Okay, we call this a Christian nation. If it's a Christian nation, Christ-like means the Christ follower. You should be acting like Christ, not acting. Let's don't even put acting in because acting's bad. You know. Let's say you're supposed to live like Christ. I think that's what the Bible teaches. So we're supposed to be living like Christ. If we are a Christian nation, why in the world do we got all this going on? If millions of people who profess to be Christians are actually Christ followers, why does our country look the way it looks? Why do we have hatred so much for our fellow man? Why is that? If this is a Christian nation and we're following Christ, then it would look like what it looked like when Christ was walking with the disciples. Go read the four Gospels. It would look like that. We'd be loving people. We'd be truthful. We'd be bold. We'd be compassionate. We'd be, you know, we would have, like, you know, trying to treat them better than we want for ourselves. It would be totally different. And the reason, and see, this is, you can make a lot of people mad with this. The reason we don't have that happening in America is because we have bought into one of the greatest lies in America. You can label yourself a Christian according to the good that you feel you do. That's how we categorize Christianity. A Christ follower, that's reason you won't hear me use Christian very much. I prefer the term Christ follower. Because a Christ follower no longer owns his life. A Christ follower belongs to Christ. A Christ follower will follow Christ. He'll follow the teachings of Christ. He will follow the example of Christ. Just because you do good things in the eyes of man doesn't make us a Christian. Our good. What does the Bible say about our good? Our good are like filthy rags. We can't even come up with good. We don't even come close to good. Goodness comes from God. And when God lives inside of you, then goodness will flow out of you. It's the reason it looks so weird. It looks so crazy. When someone, and I'm just going to kind of throw some things out here, but when someone would take their meal and give it to another person, and they would remain hungry so that this person could eat. That's love. That's love. When you would give what you have so that someone else can have and you are left with like nothing, that's love. When you think better of them and more about them and want better for them at whatever it costs you, the sacrifice is worth it. That's love. Christ said, no greater love than a man have than he lay down his life. You know, that can be physically. There are people dying all over the world today for the cause of Christ. But it also can mean dying to yourself. You know, how selfish am I with my time, with my resource? You know, how selfish am I? Do I know someone who is in need? And I hate this. I'll pray for you. I'll be honest with you. Prayer doesn't make his tummy full. And prayer doesn't, let me back up because y'all going to disagree with this. Yes, pray for them. Just saying that you will pray for them. God says we need to go a step farther. Yes, pray for them. But we need to be actional. That's another word I use. We need to be, you know, we need to do it. To go and do. I had some people say sometime in the church body, they'll know somebody's hurting or whatever, and they say, man, somebody needs to do something. And the guy that helped us plant this church, my brother Perry, he said one time, he had the best example, just great. He would hear somebody say, well, somebody needs to do something. And he would look at him, and in his awesome Jerry Clower voice, he would like, you somebody. You somebody. Here's something you can think of next time you think somebody needs to do something. Why you think somebody needs to do something? Could it be that God brought that before you? Because you somebody. He didn't give it to me to go and say, go find somebody to do something. He brought it before me so I could do what he is going to leave me to do. Well, I don't have the resources. Well, who are you trusting? Tell you a quick little story. This is going to be a long message today. Y'all good? Y'all good? I'm loving it. We ain't even got to the shipwreck part yet. Tell you a quick story. One time there was a ministry. This was out in California. And they were going to do a feeding of the homeless. And that's always off. They were going to do a feeding of the homeless. Well, kind of things got down to the last minute. And the food that they were supposed to get, something didn't pan out. They couldn't get the food. And now they got thousands of people going to show up to eat air. You know, there's going to be nothing there because they don't have anything. And so they begin to pray, God, we're confident that you said on this day and this time we needed to feed these people, love these people, minister to these people. And so, God, we're just going to count on you. We're just going to depend on you. And, God, you don't break your promise. You don't lead us into something that you're not going to take care of. And so, God, would you just do what you need to do? We're just here to serve, and we're available to you. And it's like within 30 minutes in that area, there was one or two major steakhouses. The electricity went out. And I'm talking about filet mignon, the good stuff. Their electricity went out. And that guy that was involved in this ministry got so excited, he said, look at God go. We ain't going to feed them sandwiches. We're grilling steaks. The guy called from the restaurant and knew that this was going on. He called the ministry or the head of the ministry and he said, can y'all use all of our meat? Our freezers are down and it's going to spoil. Tell me that God didn't hook that up. I'm telling you, what an amazing thing. God never fails to follow through on his promise. He never fails to follow through on his promise. Friends, I want to say one more thing before we move on to the shipwreck. If God calls you unto himself, he says in his Bible that he will give you new life. He will give you new life. He says that. And so if you're sitting there wondering what a Christian walk, What a following Jesus looks like and would be like, it's going to be a difference from what it is now in your life. It's going to be a change because he says, I'm going to make you brand new. You will be brand new. A brand new that we can't even fathom. It's that great. Through Christ. And you have to come as he calls in complete trust that he's going to do that. So we get on down and you know, the winds are blowing and Paul's looking for this promise and he's on the ship with the winds of battering and slamming around and all that kind of good stuff. And he goes, let's go to verse 7. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. You already there? Way to go. Sandra's on it, doggone it. Okay, so when we had sailed slowly for a good many days and with difficulty had arrived off of, by the way, I went and looked this up. You pronounce this Conitus or Conitus. Yeah, I went and looked. I'm just wanting for a moment to feel smart. Anyway, so you pronounced it off Conitus. Since the wind did not permit us to go farther, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off of Simone. And with difficulty sailing past it, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia. When considerable time had passed, get it, you know, you keep saying this, this is taking a while. It's taking a while. This ain't a fast journey. It's a slow journey. When considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them. By the way, when it talks about the fast being over, research this too, it's pretty awesome. It's like around October the 5th, commentaries was talking about it was getting into the winter, and what happened when it got into the colder weather in the winter, it made sailing more dangerous. And so they were in a, you know, they were their circumstances was not ideal for sailing. So just so you'll know. And he said to them, "Men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss." You want to hear that, right? You want to hear that. So not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. Paul's basically saying, hey, guys, this is going to get better. We could die. You know, this isn't looking good. You see the waves. You see the circumstances. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. Because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, the majority reached a decision. There's a reason you never go with the majority. Okay, I'm just kidding. The majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there. If somehow they could reach Phoenix, the harbor of Crete, facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. If they could just reach this place. They're trying to get to safety, and now Paul's talking about this voyage is going to be hard, and it was. It was a difficult journey. He didn't lie to them. The Bible says that. Go to Acts 27:18. So we got a moment here of despair. We got a moment of Paul saying this doesn't look good. Who freaks out in the moments of like disaster happening? We got any scaredy cats in here? Handles things really well in the heat of the moment. Who's a good heat of the moment? Just need to know who you are. Okay, heat of the moment. It gets kind of crazy. Well, I could see me now. I don't know exactly what the ship looked like or how big the ship was, but I would be down in the belly of the ship with my fingernails dug deep, probably even causing a leak in the bottom. But I would be down there. That's where I would be. And this is kind of the situation that they're in. He goes on, he says, the next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, here we go with that violence. It's true. He is already defeated. Jesus defeated him at the cross of Calvary and put his foot on him when he stepped out of the tomb in your life. You trust God. These people, Paul, but on witness to my cause at Jerusalem, the promise to Paul, yep, just Rome. He says, you're just going to get on a ship and we're going to Rome. He didn't say what the journey would look like. He just said, we're going to Rome. Go to the next one, please. When they had gone a long time without food, this is a journey. When they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, "Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Yet, keep the faith when you're going through." That's hard, isn't it? That's hard. But Paul's saying, keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Let me just say something in your situation. I have no idea where you guys are right now. Some of you I do. I mean, we share stories, and as I get to know others, we'll share stories, and we can pray for you and all that. But some of you, I don't know where you are on your journey. I don't know what ocean your ship is in or whatever. But I do know that God's made promises. I do know that. And His promises will not be void. He will not go back on His promise. He promised, as I said at the beginning, I want you to hear this. He promised that if you hear Him calling and you heed to that call and you come to Him, He promised to save you and redeem you. If you are following Him and you're in a journey right now that your ship is like, you only got this much ship showing, the rest of it's underwater, and He's saying, stay with it, stay with it, and your natural response will be to bail out, He said, no, hang in there, because I will not break my promise. See, we have a difficult time in trusting God, especially in our culture. We'll go a ways with God, but when the journey gets difficult, we tend to exit because there's something better, something newer. We're going to read in just a few minutes, in case if I get to make this point, we're going to read in just a few minutes where Paul's saying all this, and these guys are like hearing what they're called soundings. I thought it was pretty cool. And I think it's something called fathom. Did y'all know this? Some of you Bible scholars will. That like a fathom. I think that's the way you pronounce it. It's like they would measure like as far as they could reach like this. And it was like 6 feet or whatever. That's what a fathom was. So they're like 20 fathoms, and that could mean depth or whatever. So they're like, water was like 120 foot deep or whatever. Anyway, you need to go read the story. It's just fascinating stuff. I was theological looking all over the place last night. It was awesome. So anyway, looking the stuff up. But anyway, all I'm saying is Paul is on the, you know, he's trusting God. He's telling these guys, for this very night, an angel of God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood before me. Paul says, hey, guys, I got a word from God. I got a word from God. I feel a little bit like Paul this morning. For some reason in my spirit, I need to say this to you guys. I'm standing here with a word of God for you this morning. Paul's saying, I got a word from God saying, do not be afraid. Who needed to hear that? Do not be afraid. Paul, you must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, because of all of that, because of that, because God is with you, therefore, keep up your courage, men. For I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. I want to back up just one second, Miss Sandra. Yeah, there we go. I want us to read this all together, loudly. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. I want you to recognize something there about, for I believe God. He did not say that I believe in God. He didn't say I believe in God, which he did, but he didn't say I believe in God. He didn't say that I believe that God could deal with this and you know, hopefully make this thing work. He used this very strong words and went straight to the point. I believe God. Meaning, what God says, I trust. What God says, I believe. The angel has come and told me that this is going to turn out okay. That this is going to turn out well. I believe God. He has said that we will be spared. There will be no loss of life. We will be spared. God said so. That's what we're doing. That's what we got to believe. That's what we must. For I believe, God, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. And trust that. But we must run aground on a certain island. But when the 14th night came, as we were being driven about in the, I think you pronounce this Adriatic Sea. If not, someone can correct me afterwards. About midnight, the sailors began to surmise that they were approaching some land. This is what the soundings, listen to this. They took soundings. Isn't that weird? Next time I go to the ocean, that like waves hitting and lapping, or if they're against rocks or whatever, like, you know, they could kind of tell the distance. That's pretty cool, I thought. So they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. Remember the fathoms I told you about a while ago? Go research that. And a little farther on, they took another sounding and found it to be about 15 fathoms. Fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. They wished for daybreak. See, they quit trusting what Paul had just said about God. Pragmatism. I learned that word. Does anybody know what pragmatism means? Isn't that awesome? Nobody? I'll teach you. There was something more practical. They began to hear these soundings. They began to say, well, you know, we might could swim. Or we're getting closer. You know? Here's my point. Have you ever done this? That at this point in this journey, God is the only thing that can help you, and you're crying out to Him, so to speak, and you're asking Him to help you. But if something more practical comes along, like you can grab it right then and you can have it then, you ever done that? And you just kind of forget about all that crying out and all that praying you just done to God. Now you see something more practical, and practical stuff kind of relate to us better because we can see it, feel it, and touch it. It's easier to trust, though it'll let us down way before God would let us down. We'll grab onto things, and that's what was happening. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boats into the sea on pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow. And I must read this verse that I didn't give Sharon. It says, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. You yourselves cannot be saved. Paul said, I'm telling you, God's got this. He's already said, if you will just stay with the ship. But Paul is sinking. Paul is going to slam into some rock. Just stay with the ship. Give us one good reason, Paul, why we should stay with the ship. And let's say this loudly. Because God said, if He's told you to just hang on with your situation, use this one as a good advice or good illustration. And I know, you know, guys, and I don't want to, you know, hurt or offend anybody, but this is a great illustration because I see marriages sometimes just walked out on. Ship! I'm going to make that ship something that you can't even fathom. I'm going to do something in the ship. I'm going to do something in that situation that you can't even fathom. Stay with the ship. Trust my promise. Trust me. Cling to me. Hold on to me. It's going to turn out well. Though it looks bad now, it's going to turn out. Stay here. But striking the reef, where two seas met, they ran the vessel aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern began to be broken up by the force of the waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim away and escape. Kept them from their intention and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest should follow, some on planks and others on various things from the ship. And so it happened that they all were brought safely to land. Let's just read that last little bit together. And so it happened that they all were brought safely to land. this is going to turn out well for you, Jesus follower. You're going to hit, we're all, if I can, for cheesy illustrations again, we're all sailing an ocean. We're all on a journey. And there's going to be days I have heard I never experienced. I have heard that the ocean sometimes will be as slick as glass. It's just a sight to behold. The sun is shining, the images that are you know, the sunshine's image flowing off the water, and it's slick as glass, and it's just beautiful. There's going to be days like that. There's going to be days like that. And then there's going to be days when you look from your ship and a wave's going to be 100 foot above the bow, and it's going to ring fear, and it's going to look bad. But God would say to you in that moment, stay in the ship. Stay with the ship. Stay right here. Cry out to me. I'm going to walk you through and get you through this journey. And I'm going to take this situation, and I'm going to take your circumstances, and we're going to come out the other side. And first and foremost, you're going to know that I am God. And you're going to know that you're a child of mine that I love beyond human comprehension. You're going to know that. And you're going to realize that. I got a few verses I want to share to you, because as Paul went through this shipwreck, I'm sure that there was intense moments. And I'm sure there's even times Paul would agree that, I think swimming would be safer. But thank God that Paul was one who listened to him. Guys, I don't know. I want to share these with you, and I pray that you'll take these home and meditate on them, pray over them, and put them into practice. Sometimes we want God to get us out of the storm as quickly as possible. I'll guarantee you this. I'll guarantee you when Paul and these guys came to shore, I can't help but think, remember the angel that came to Paul? I can't help but think that Paul sitting beside of a campfire that night where it was nice and warm, I'm just painting your picture, okay, where it was nice and warm, and he's sitting around with these guys, and Paul had testified, guys, stay with the ship. An angel came to me. God has spoke to me through an angel, and he said that all will be well. Just stick with the ship. Just hang in there, that he's going to take care of us, that he's going to get us safely to land. And he did, and guys, we're sitting here, and I can't help but think they were just praising God, whose eyes may be in Paul's crowd, because some of these guys, I think if you'll go look, some of these guys did not believe in God. How many guys looked at Paul's God and said, he did. He did. It wasn't the most pleasant journey, but he brought us safely to land. He did what he promised. Again, guys, let me just say this before I read these scriptures, because I want you to take this home with you. No matter where you are, God's promises will never fail you. As I said at the beginning, if you don't know Jesus, and he's speaking to your heart, his promise as you come, as he calls, is to redeem you and save you and equip you. If you are a follower of Jesus, his promise is to take care of you, to watch over you, to give you what you need, to be with you in the storms, to be sitting on the ship in the sunshiny day just communing with you. God is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He promises that. He promises that. So if you'll go ahead and put up Philippians 1:6, write these down. By the way, we got this neat little thing happening here. We always on the top of technology at Immerse Church. Anyway, got sermon. Write these down and take these home with you and pray over them. And as I told you before, you know, don't take what I told you today as, you know, as the honest, pure truth. I just came and spoke a message that God laid on my heart. You go home and read it in God's Word for yourself. You go take God's Word home and you read it for yourself. And you, here's the way you do this. And I feel like maybe I need to give some instruction. I don't know why. Maybe it's for my benefit. Here's the way I'd love to do this. I got five scriptures here I want to share with you. And this is the way I would approach it. Okay, God, so Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. God, would you help me understand this? God, would you show me the purest meaning of this? And then, God, more importantly than understanding and knowing it, God, would you help me live in it? Would you help me anchor into it? God, would you just lead me and walk with me and teach me to be obedient to it? God, would you do that? And would each one just pray over it, God? Guys, just ask God to show you and reveal to you how it is to live in it and what it looks like. And then and do it. Go and do it. Live in it. It bothers me sometimes when I got a believer that comes to me and, you know, they'll be just riddled with ways and they'll say, man, I don't know what to do. Are you reading your Bible? As much as I can. We'll read it more. Are you crying out to God? Yes, I'm praying. We'll pray more. Get face down. Key question. Are you trusting Him? Because see, this thing right here, this thing is nothing but words until you trust it. This will only be words to you if you just read it to try to find out a little something about God. When you begin to live this, this comes alive. When you begin to believe this and trust this and walk in this and carry it seated deeply in your heart, this is alive. And it will change your life. It will change your life. And God ain't going to quit changing until the day that we shut these things and exit this earth. We are being transformed. He says that we are His workmanship. He's making us and building us and transforming us. And that will be a continual process until the day that we pass from this earth. This is what grows us. This is what feeds us. You know, you've heard this cheesy illustration. If you ain't eating of this is our food, by the way. If you're not eating of this, you're starving to death. You will starve to death spiritually. It's the reason that some profess to be Christians, and you can get in a conversation with them in 2010. You can have that conversation. They'll tell you a couple things about the Bible and all. And you can have another conversation with them in 2018, and you hear the same story, and you want to go, have you read God's Scripture between 2010 and 2018, because you're still kind of clinging to just that. Has God not fed you? Or is it just that you haven't come to the table? Are you not coming to meal time to feast upon the food that God uses to change us and grow us? So here's scriptures I want you to take home with you. Philippians 1:6 says, for I am confident in this very thing. Yeah. I love that. When you see words like confident, you know what confidence means, right? You're sure of that. That's concrete. I'm confident in this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. You got the perfect builder working on you. You got perfection being placed in you and put in you. You are being made perfect, and He ain't going to stop until the day that you see Jesus. He's making you perfect. Meditate on that for a little bit. Isaiah 41:10. I love this passage of Scripture. I have to quote this to myself a couple times each day. It's one reason I decided to give it to you this morning. Do not fear, For I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Amen. I am your God. God says, I am your God. Hey, Christian, follower of Jesus, one who has truly and sincerely placed their faith in me, I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's a lot of surely. God's going to do what he says. He means that. He's not going to back off of that. John 10. My sheep. You know, isn't it weird? And I know people don't like it when I say this. But it does give us a good illustration. I'm a farmer. I raise cows and chickens, and that's about it now. But anyway, I've raised a bunch of stuff as a farmer. Never a sheep. I done some research on a sheep one time because I thought I wanted to get me one. And then I found out how dumb they are. And they get into things. They're constantly getting into things all the time. It's like to be a shepherd of a sheep, you got to watch him all the time. That's neat, isn't it? So God refers to us as sheep. That's just bad. You know? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have went there. I know. I shouldn't have went there. But anyway, he refers to us as sheep. And I don't want you to take it, though sheep are like the dumbest animal on the face of the earth. I want you to take it like that. God says, I want to give you the illustration. The reason I refer to you as sheep is you are in my constant care. A shepherd won't leave his sheep. And if one runs off, well, I shouldn't say leave. He did leave the 99, but in safe place, okay? But he will go and go get the one who ran off. He is a tender of sheep. He is watching over us because sheep has to be watched over 24/7. God watches over his sheep 24/7. I want to be a sheep that belongs to God Almighty. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. God knows you. And they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. And they will never perish. Let's read that. I give eternal life to them. And they will never perish. And no one, I love this part, no one will snatch them out of my hand. If you come to God through Christ, no one will snatch you out of his hand. He's got you forever and ever and ever and ever. No one will snatch you out of his hand. My Father who is giving them to me, that's the reason I keep saying that it has to be God who draws you. God opens your eyes. God reveals to you that you need Christ. And if God's speaking that to you, you come to him through Christ. Says that my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. That in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. What else can I say other than trust God? Don't be so quick to pray, God, how do I get out of this? Be adamant in your prayer of God, show me through this. Walk me through this. Lead me through this. Be adamant to pray that God, what do you want to reveal to me in all of this? This is not old news. I mean, new news. This is like, we know this. I think so many times that for whatever reason, we don't want to, I don't know, damage our lifestyle. I don't know what it is, but we tend to try to protect sometimes the very thing that God wants to destroy. And sometimes He'll send a storm in to take that out so we can see Him more clearly. Stop hanging on to the things that God wants to destroy. I'm promising there will be a day that if God wants to remove something from your life, there will be a day that you will sit or stand or fall on your knees and praise Him. God, I am so thankful you removed that from my life. My life shouldn't be about this world. Our life should be about Christ and following Him. So, I think that's it. There's nothing else rolling in my thoughts and in my heart, so I believe I'm done. Other than to say this to you, God loves you. You can trust that. Wherever you are in life, God loves you. No matter what you've done, God loves you. God loves you. God desires for us, first and foremost, to see Him. To see Him. I wish sometimes that I could tell people, because this is the case for so many a lot of times, well, what is God going to have to read, or what will God take away from me if I want to follow Him? Brother, sister, people, if you're asking that question, then you're not truly seeking the God who can change you. There are Christians who ask, well, how close to sin can I walk before it's actually considered sin? You don't view God in that way. You don't view God. It should be, how far away from sin, God, can you help me walk? I wish we could just throw everything down, get a visual picture. If we all could hold our life and everything that we crave and everything that we desire and everything that we love and everything that just controls, I wish we could get a picture, a visual of literally walking by a life dumpster, if you will, and throwing it in the dumpster and turning around, and there Jesus in the flesh would be standing and He would embrace us. I wish we could get that picture. Not worrying about, well, you know, I don't know if I can come to Jesus because, you know, this, listen here. If He can pull guys out of an ocean, if He can part the sea, if He can heal the lame, if He can make the blind see, you ain't got nothing in your life that He can't handle. You ain't got nothing in your life that He can't heal. You ain't got nothing in your life that He can't get rid of. And because you're still breathing, there's still an opportunity for you to breathe new life that is given to you by Christ. He can put a newness in you. I'm done. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. God, thank you for the privilege of your word. God, thank you for the privilege of examples. God, I thank you so much for the illustration of just Paul. God, just sailing. Gosh, what a life example or a life illustration of just things getting rocky and rowdy. And Father, it just beating the snot out of us. And Father, there's days, you know, God, it's like that. In fact, you knew that way before we got there. You have planned out our entire journey. And you haven't only planned out our entire journey, you've planned out what it would look like, what it would be like. You've also placed opportunity in those journeys. First, God, the opportunity to know you personally through Jesus Christ. Secondly, after knowing Him and coming to Him, as you call us, God, we can live a life that is so completely different, so refreshing. It pales the old life. It does away with it. God, help us to see you. God, I pray that we will call out to you. God, and I pray that we have nothing in our life or nothing that we're holding on to that would prevent that. God, break that in us. Break that in us. That we can freely come and freely know you. All honor and glory to you, Father God. In the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.